So I'm one of the dinosaurs around here, and probably most of you have seen me before. I get the pleasure this morning of talking to you about the soul of a child. This is going to be an introduction to counseling children. So let's just ask God to help us get out of this session what He would like for us to get. Lord, thank you that you care about children. Thank you that you went out of your way to make that very, very plain when you lived on earth. Thank you, Lord, that you have created these children with souls and that you have given us the ability to minister to them. Lord, I would ask that as we spend some time thinking about that this morning, that the result would be that we would be better equipped to come along children who are struggling and suffering and introduce them to you and give them hope and stir up in them a passion for you, because that's what we want in our own lives, Lord. And so would you equip us and help us to just be better and better at doing that in the lives of the children that we make it to minister to. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. For children, the struggles, the desires, and the hope that they have are no different than for those of us who are adults. It has been my privilege this past year to counsel an 11-year-old girl who has abuse in her past. And while we often think of children as needing a different approach to counseling, and we certainly want to tailor our counseling and our interaction to the understanding of the children that we work with, it's my observation that children struggle with the same desires that adults struggle with. They are lured by the same lies that adults fall prey to, and they find hope in the same source that adults find hope, in our Lord and Savior. Children, like adults, wrestle with profound thoughts and questions. And I have been struck anew during this counseling opportunity with this precious 11-year-old with the profound thoughts that have been going on in her soul. Early in our counseling, I asked this precious child, Maya, to draw a picture for me of her relationship with God. The picture that she drew was, I think, heart-wrenching. Her picture had four frames. In frame one, she depicted herself kneeling by her bed to pray to God. In frame two, she showed God responding to her prayer by saying, Her prayers don't matter. In frame three, she depicted herself searching for answers by reading the Bible, questioning why she couldn't find answers. And in her final frame, she drew God responding to her Bible study by asking, why should I give her answers? That just was heartbreaking to me, that this 11-year-old girl is searching for answers and concluding that God doesn't want to give her any answers. And as we discussed this, Maya told me that she didn't believe God responded like that to everyone, just her. She was convinced that she was different. She said that she didn't think she was precious to God. And she said that God doesn't always mean what he says in the Bible. So, okay, you're sitting across from Maya. Where are you going to go next? She thinks she's different than other people. She believes that God doesn't always mean what he says in the Bible. Are you just going to say, well, God says this in the Bible. He does care about you. Yeah, maybe everybody else. Where are you going to go with Maya at this point? Well, I don't know that I had the right answer, but I concluded that it would be fruitless to immediately direct Maya to passages which show the depth of God's love for her. I felt pretty certain that Maya would just be convinced that those passages were true for everybody else, that they weren't true for her based on her experience. Here's where I ended up. The answers from Scripture are not too hard for children. So along with other things, I decided to have Maya look at the book of Job with me. And even as I directed her to Job chapter 1, I was internally asking myself if I was being stupid. Job is not the easiest book in the Bible to digest. And I was asking this little 11-year-old girl to study it with me. But we began looking at Job, who also suffered and didn't understand what God was doing. And after just looking at Job 1, Maya initially observed that, like Job, God was letting Satan into her life. But unlike Job, she was not keeping faith. Maya also stated that Job got answers, but she didn't get answers. Well, we then went to Job chapter 3, where Job questions what God is doing. He doesn't understand God either. He does not understand what God is up to. And over the next few sessions, we kept working our way through Job. We spent time in Job chapter 9 and 10 looking at the questions Job asked God and some of the statements that Job made about God. In Job chapter 9, verses 14 through 20, Job concludes, "God won't answer my questions." In verse 21, Job says, "I despise my life." In verse 22 of chapter 9, Job says, "There is no difference in how God treats the wicked or the blameless." In verse 23 of Job chapter 9, God mocks the despair of innocent people. In verses 25 through 28, "Even if I decide I'll act like I'm happy, God is still going to be against me." Verse 29, "Since God has already decided I'm guilty, what's the use?" Verses 30 and 31, "Even if I tried to clean myself up, God would just make me dirty again." Verses 32 through 35, "If I could go to court and get an impartial judge, the judge would tell God I'm good." And then in Job chapter 10, verse 1, Job says, "I loathe my life. I hate it." And so I asked this 11-year-old girl to identify where she had questions and similar thoughts. And to my surprise, Maya was able to reframe each of Job's responses, each of those that we just went through in that list, to a similar struggle in her heart. Every single one of them, she could tell me specifically how those were a struggle in her heart. She had similar struggles to everything in that list. Now, eventually, we moved on to the end of Job and God's response to this godly man. I observed that God didn't answer Job's questions. Rather, God revealed himself. And then went to Job 42 in verses 1 through 3, where Job said to God, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I didn't understand, things too wonderful for me to know." And like adults, children need to wrestle with suffering and be led to see a sovereign, merciful God at work. I paraphrase for Maya Job's response in the following way. "God is at work doing things far more wonderful than I can understand or imagine. I need to trust." So I just boiled Job 42 down to that statement. God is at work doing things far more wonderful than I can understand or imagine. I need to trust. And as part of her homework, I asked Maya to write that out on an index card and just review it a number of times every day. So I wanted her to write it on an index card, and then I want you to look at it several times every day. And if you know me, several times is probably 25 to 30 times a day, okay? Well, when Maya came back the next week, she had done an excellent job of thinking about Job's response, and she had made some connections with his response to the responses in her life, and she had some hope. So I thought, well, it was good for 1 week. Let's try it again for another week. So I asked Maya to continue to reflect on that paraphrase for another week, and Maya said, she intended to write that out on another note card and use that note card to review it, because the one that she had used for the previous week, she wanted to put it up next to her bed so she could see it every day. Maya starts to have hope. Children have the same questions, struggles, desires, and wrestle with the same things that adults do. For 11-year-old Maya, the struggles, the desires, the hope were no different than for those of us who are adults. Christ is our light. So as you help children, and this is just an introductory session, but as you help children, remember the soul of a child wrestles with the same struggles that older souls wrestle with. Now, I think one of the questions that we need to consider in a session like this is deciding when to meet directly with a child. Now, it might surprise you to hear in a session on counseling children that I would not normally suggest that you counsel.